Take your Bible tonight and go to Galatians chapter 6. We'll look there for a few moments. Galatians 6. We're going to look at most all the chapter, but we're going to contextualize it with the 17th verse. So go down to one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible, in Galatians 6 and verse 17. Kind of jumps off the page. Leonard Ravenhill. How many of you know who Leonard Ravenhill is? Anybody read any of his stuff? Leonard Ravenhill? Anybody know Leonard Ravenhill? Read any of his thing? 3 or 4 people in here? All right. Ravenhill, in his book on Why Revival Tarries, deals with this verse. And I've read that book I don't know how many times, and off that page just jumps Galatians 6:17 when he talks about the cross and bearing the marks of the cross in our life. And so in Galatians 6 and verse 17, we find Paul saying these words, excuse me, "From now on, let no one cause trouble for me." And let's pause right there for a moment. I'm not preaching on that part of the verse, but that's a great text.
Amen.
From now on, let no one cause, anybody causing trouble for you? Amen. This is a good text. This is a good verse to memorize. Galatians 6, 17, verse 8. All right? From now on, let no one, dear God, in Jesus' name, let no one call. Well, let me tell you something. Because we're going to get to this in point 3 tonight. If you don't have trouble, you're not much. Matter of fact, if you don't have trouble, you're not going to be much. Some of you are saying, buddy, I'm fixing to be something. Because I'm loaded up. Well, let me tell you, trouble will just deal with you and squeeze you, and whatever's in you is going to come out, all right? That's what trouble does. But Paul here with the Galatians, he's praying, Lord, don't let anybody cause trouble for me. Here's the reason, because I bear in my body the brand marks of Jesus. I bear the marks of the Lord Jesus. That word mark is the word stigma. It means a cut, or a mark, a brand. We may use tattoo today. In the first century, if you belonged to a certain general's grouping, oftentimes they would cut themselves a certain way on their arm, and that scar would be there, and so you would belong to this group. That was your stigma, that was your brand mark. They also used it for false gods. If you worship this god or another god, the stigma is what you'd often cut or mark yourself in a certain way, and I belong to this group over here. Well, Paul said, I bear in my body the stigma of Christ. My brand is Jesus. The scars, the brand marks of following Christ. Now, everybody has a mark. You have a brand. When somebody calls your name, John Tyner leads our music here. Somebody says John Tyner, he has a mark, he has a brand. When you say John Tyner, you think of something. You say my name, you think of something. You say Billy Bob, you think of something. You have a brand. Everybody in this room's got a brand. Some of you trying to live down a brand because it wasn't positive. Jesus brings something, changes. They say, man, there's great transformation. His brand mark is this. He's changed. He's a new guy. It's a new lady. There, everybody has a brand. Branding is big in our culture. Our church has a brand. Whether we like it or we don't like it, we have a brand. We live at the busiest intersection in Pensacola, Florida. More cars go by out here than any other intersection in our county. And everybody drives by here, looks, and they think something about Olive Baptist Church when they drive by here. And it doesn't have to be true, but it's what they think. Oh, too big. I'd never go in there. It's big. That means it's cold. They're unfriendly. And all they want is my money. That's what they think. It's a brand. Other people look and say, man, they help me. And that's one of the friendliest places in all the world. I see them on television. And so that's a great. There was a couple here this morning. I saw them as they came in. One of the greeters outside. That's the reason we have greeters that greet people in the parking lot. And they bring them in, help them find their way. It's part of our brand. And this young lady introduced them to me and said, Pastor, first time they've been here. And I shook hands. An older couple. It's her birthday, and they live 2 hours from here. And she said, I watch this church on television. I asked my husband for my birthday. I want to go to Olive Baptist Church. And so they came here for her birthday. I hope he took her to lunch. I don't know if he did or not, but she wanted to come over here, and she probably goes to a small church somewhere, and she watches on television and sees the choir and all, and so they wanted to come, and they came today. That's a brand, part of the television, part of the brand. Well, what goes out on the internet is part of a brand. It doesn't make it true, except it's true to them. And we all have a brand. Individually, we have it as a church. Southern Baptists have it as a denomination. We've all got it. Our seminaries have it. Every Baptist institution, your business where you work has a brand. When they say Walmart has a brand, and I say that word, immediately something conjures up in your mind because you're branded with what that means. Walmart at 2 o'clock in the morning has a brand. Walmart at 3 o'clock in the afternoon has a different brand. Yeah. Football season's coming in the fall, and in the first quarter, there'll be a duck come on the screen. Who is that? Say it like they do. See, I don't even have to tell you what that is. See, they've so branded you that you know what that duck's for. He's for an insurance company. That's branding. They get to the third quarter, the duck gets kicked out of the game, and they bring a gecko across the screen. What's he there for? Geico, different company. They got you hooked with a dumb animal. They don't even have to say anything. That duck just comes out there on the screen and pecks it twice. Everybody in the room says, that's branding. Branding's what it is. But Gecko, it's a brand. We live in that world today. Paul said, I have the brand mark of Christ. Now, when people think of us as Olive, when they think of you as an individual, the greatest thing they should think, the way you ought to live, is that when they see you, they say, there's a Jesus person. That ought to be your brand mark. Because you bear in your body the scars, the brands of the Lord Christ within you. I grew up in the country, but I never branded a cow. Never did that. But I pastored in Texas for 13 years. And the Schaffners invited me out to the ranch one Thursday afternoon and said, would you like to come out? We're cutting wheat and branding cattle. I said, I've never seen that. I think I'd like to go. So they put me in that combine, and we went across that wheat field. Air conditioned in the combine, big outfit. They're playing music in there. I mean, it's like sitting in your living room. Going across, watching that wheat come kicking out and into the, boy, it was something, I'd never been around that. Finished up, and they said, all right, Pastor, come over here with us. And they had a pen of calves, and they had those, and it was a chute that came down through here, and there's an old cowhand. He'd hit this lever, and the gate fly up, and this calf would come down, and he'd hit that again, and the sides of that pen would come together and pinch that calf, pick him up and turn him over on his side. No roping and all that. I mean, that's old school stuff, you know. And then they went over, and they got out of a hot fire, a branding iron, and they stuck to the hind quarter of that calf, that mark of the Schaffner rat. I can still hear it and smell it. And they burnt the hide of the back hind quarter of that calf. And while they had him down there, they did some other stuff to him. And that's another sermon for another time. Just trust me on that, all right? I'm just telling. And they, it was a Jewish calf, that's right. And they hit that lever again, and it stood him up in the pen, and he ran out of there, and he ran out of sight. And if they'd have stuck that thing to your hind end, you'd have run out of sight, all right? I'm just telling you. They set his soul afire. And but from that day till he died, he was branded with the Schaffner brand. I tell you, friend, when you come to Christ, you ought to be branded to people see the Christ in you and through you. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, the stigma. You've all got it. I'm marked. My hair marks me. My title as pastor of Olive Baptist Church marks me. My right ear that sticks out marks me. You got marks physically, but I'm telling you, there should be a spirit about you that when people meet you, you are a Jesus person. Amen. And do you know if we get enough of those kind of folks all together, then we got a Jesus church. And we go forward as God's army, serving and sharing and seeing others come to know Christ. Well, here's the question. If you're marked by Christ, what marks you? There are four marks that I want you to see in Galatians 6 tonight, very quickly. Four simple marks that brand us the stigma of the Lord Jesus. Number one is found in verse 1 and verses 7 and 8. In chapter 6, the Bible says, brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to himself, so that you too will not be tempted. Look in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from his flesh reap corruption, and the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. The first mark is holiness. Holiness. The brand is that of holiness. We are branded by Christ. Branded by holiness, the spirit life. Now, everybody in this room, listen to me. You are one of three things in your life when it comes to the spirit life. Number one, 1 Corinthians 2 said, you are either of the flesh, that means that you live according to your physical flesh, or you are a spiritual man, that is, you're saved. Or thirdly, Paul says you could be carnal. If you're a carnal man, that means you're a saved man, but you're living in the power of the flesh, not the power of the spirit. If you're lost, it doesn't make you wicked or evil as far as the world's concerned, but it makes you lost, and you're just living according to the flesh. You see, you are body, you are soul, you are spirit. And if you're lost, you're just living in the body and the soul. The soul is the mind, will, and emotion. The body is your physical, but when you get saved, you are born again. Your spirit lifts from the dead, is resurrected from the dead, and when you ask Christ to save you, you are birthed in your spirit. Some of you sit right here, right now, dead in your spirit. You're alive in your mind, your will, your emotion. You're alive in the flesh, but your spirit is dead. And when Jesus saves you, he quickens you, the Bible says, and you are saved in your spirit. You are born again, and then your spirit, you begin to work out your salvation, and your mind is made alive through the spirit life. Your will, your emotion is made alive. And some of us are ruled by our emotion of the flesh, but we should be ruled by the emotion of the spirit. The only way for that to happen is holiness. You either sow to the flesh and reap corruption, or sow to the Spirit and reap eternal life. God is looking for men to fail. C.S. Lewis said this, God is looking for men to fail because he does not fail rabbits, only mankind. He doesn't fail rabbits, cows. He's looking for men, for women, and he fills us with his Holy Spirit, and we are then holy, holy, holy people. So what ought to mark you first is the holiness of God. You're saved, you know you're saved, you're filled with the Spirit, and you know you're filled with the Spirit, and the fruits of the Spirit are living through you. One of the fruits that God brings through you, Hebrews 12 says, it's the fruit of your lips. John, that speaks of our music and our praise in his primary teaching in Hebrews, the fruit of our lips. But you know, your fruit of your lips is not just what you sing, it's also what you say. Amen? So it's how you sing, but what you say. And the fruit of your lips is the holiness of God that comes through you. So I want to ask you tonight, are you branded by Christ? Do you know you're saved? On a Sunday night, in a smaller crowd, do you know that you know that Jesus is your Lord, that you saved, your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life? If you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. You know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. Anybody here like that? I hope that'd be everybody, but I know there's somebody here that's never said yes to Christ. In a few minutes, Jamie's going to sing, and I'm going to ask you to walk right down here and say, Pastor, tonight's my night. I'm ready to be saved. Jesus died for me. I know it. I'm a sinner. I know it. He'll save me if I call on his name. He'll do that for you if you'll call on him. He'll save you, and he will absolutely do a miracle. He will raise your dead spirit from the dead to new life in Christ, and he will brand you with holiness. Secondly, not only are we branded with holiness, we are branded by humility. By humility. If you're going to be known by the brand mark of Christ, it is with humility. Look in Galatians 6 and verse number 3. The Bible says, if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he's a Baptist. No, it says he deceives himself. Amen. If you think you're something when you're really nothing, you deceive yourself. You've got to come to humility to understand that the branding is not you and your snappy personality. It's the power of Jesus in you, and you must humble you. Let me tell you, friend, the most humble person ever walked the face of the earth was the Lord Jesus Christ. He walked in meekness. Friend, he is filled with power. But he left heaven and became obedient unto death. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. And if you're going to be like Jesus, number one, you got to have holiness. But number two, if you're going to be like Jesus, you must be branded by humility. You know that verse. He that exalts himself will be brought low, and he that humbles himself will in due time be exalted. Dr. Jernigan, I see you come in here tonight. Miss Kim, aren't you right there? I use this phrase. I use it. It's just in a lot of messages, and we talk about humility, and I've used this phrase, peacock today, feather duster tomorrow. You've heard me say that over and over and over. Kim sent me a card the other day with a peacock on the front of it. Wrote me a note, thanked me for the message, and said, Pastor, I've heard you say that before. Just sending you this card's a reminder. Now, my new prayer closet, I've put that on my wall. I just got the front of that. I don't even look at the note, what she said. I know what she said inside. I just keep that peacock in front of me. And when I bow to pray in the morning, I look down and say, God, help me die to being a peacock. Because if I'm a peacock today, feather duster tomorrow. He that exalts himself is going to be brought low. You need to learn to humble yourself. Thank you, Dr. Jernigan. That picture helps me. It reminds me, just a good constant reminder for me to say, that's not who I am. If we're not careful, that is who we'll be. We lift ourselves. Friend, you lift yourself. Bam, you're coming down. But if you'll learn to humble yourself, I'm telling you, God has a way in due time of exalting you. 2 Chronicles, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, heal their land. We go down to the Bay Center on 9/11. That's going to be our key verse. My people called by my name will humble themselves. We're going to begin with humility. Humble ourselves. Dear friend, the first thing ought to mark us is humility after holiness. The brand of holiness, the brand of humility. Thirdly, God's people that bear in their body the marks of Christ are always branded by, now don't miss this, they are branded by hurt, by hurt. Hurt will always leave brand marks. In verse 17, as I said, let no one cause trouble for me. But let me tell you, friend, Paul knew trouble. Romans 8 and verse 35, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. Oh, yes, sir. He said he had been in dangers of rivers and drowning in 2 Corinthians 11, 23 through 28. You ought to read that list sometime, 2 Corinthians 11, 23. Paul just begins to say that I was stoned, I was beaten, I was hungry. He just walks through all of those hurts. I'm telling you, friend, when God allows you to be bruised, if you'll respond properly, he will turn that hurt to a testimony. Because God never wastes a hurt. A lot of people get angry at God when they walk through tough times and hurt. It's a normal response, but it's not a supernatural response. It's a natural, fleshly response. Somebody hurts you, you want to hurt them back. But if you learn to respond to the bruising and the hurting, I'm telling you, God will take it and turn it into testimony. Now, how many ladies sat right here? I've stood right there. We've buried their husband. It's the other way sometimes, but not very many times. Most of the time, the guy dies first. And I always try to share with those ladies, listen, you don't know how to respond right now, but there's scores of people in this church that have already been where you are, and they've hurt like you've hurt, and they've known the comfort of God, and they've walked through that now for years or months. And it doesn't mean that they don't hurt anymore. It just means they've responded well, and they're going to come to you, and God's going to take their hurt and be a blessing to you. Some of you walked through divorce. You didn't look for it. You didn't want it. It crushed you. It hurt you. If you'll respond to God, I'm telling you, God will take that crushing, hurting, and you'll find scores of people around you. There is a gentleman, if I called his name, he's semi-popular in our area. People know who he is because he's a media guy. He comes to our divorce recovery program here. He's a Catholic gentleman. Every time I see him in town, he shakes my hand. He says, Pastor, thank you for having that divorce recovery thing because I like to die until I got there. And some of the people that walked through that hurt walked with me. Some of you got special needs children. Now, I always get in trouble here because I never know what to call special needs children. So I use special needs, and I hope that's all right, because they keep changing language. And, you know, what you used to say, you can't say. So just understand I'm talking about kids with Down syndrome or, you know, whatever. So I'll talk to families. I'm dealing with two couples right now, fixing to get married, and I always ask them how many kids you want, and they say, well, she wants four, and I want one and a half, and, you know, and we argue back and forth, and we laugh about that. And then they always say this line, say, well, Pastor, it really doesn't matter if boys or girls or how many, we just want them to be what?
Healthy.
But they're not all healthy. Because kids come, and if I'm just telling you, if you learn to respond to God in the right, God will take that hurt and use it in a marvelous way. Yes, he will. So, Prince, it's easy if you stand up there and say, you don't have special needs kids, you hadn't been through divorce, all those things you've, and we all have hurts. Next month's my month. May's my month. I shared this story the other night. 1994 in this church, hardest year of my life. I got those nasty letters. I got that letter from that lady, said she's going to burn my house down. That'll scar your heart, scare you. I've had police officers sleep at my house. I've had scare tactics. Let me tell you, if you learn to respond to God through that, I can't tell you the scores of times since 1994 I've been called and people say, I heard you went through a hard time over at Olive. Can you help me? And some preacher. And I began to share my story. How God helped me walk through that. God never wastes a hurt. It's our scar. I mean, Jesus was beaten, stuck with a spear, thorns in his head, and died. We're not better than our Lord. So when you walk through your hurt, don't argue with it. Move through it at God's pace. And I'm telling you, the pain will one day in time be turned to a blessing to somebody else if you don't get bitter. But you got to want to get better. I know some people that just love to live in the hurt. So how you doing? I'm walking through that. How long's it been? Well, you know, 1984. You got to walk through it and let God be larger than the problem. He never wastes it. And we see that hurt, that crush. You don't become a martyr. As a matter of fact, we deserve worse than we get. God, by His grace, has let us walk through, and we bear in our body the marks, the mark of holiness, the mark of humility, the mark of hurt. But there's one last one. We ought to bear in our body the brand mark. We ought to be branded by hallelujah. Yes, sir. There ought to be a mark of hallelujah in every one of us. Look at it. In chapter 6, verse 9, he says, let us not lose heart in doing good. In due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. Verse 14, but may it never be that I would boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. We only boast in one thing. We boast in the cross, the cross, the cross. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There ought to be a shout within your soul. Why, you're going to heaven when you die, aren't you? Well, there ought to be a shout in your soul. There ought to be a hallelujah in there. There ought to be some glory. I'm telling you that when a bunch of Baptists get together in a big crowd, especially like on Sunday morning, everybody, there ought to be some shouting go on. Somebody ought to say, glory to God, every now and then. Well, you're preaching the gospel about heaven. Sins forgiven. You say, well, you know, I don't want to upset. We ought to upset somebody. God knows we ought to turn over a pew every now and then. We ought to be marked with hallelujah. You say, well, preacher, that's just not my personality. I'm not talking about your personality. I'm talking about your powerful Lord. As a matter of fact, if some of you ever gave a little amen, it'd scare some people to death because that's not your personality. And they'd know something happened to you. Old Manly Beasley, I used to just love old Manly. He'd preach hard. Oh, gosh, he'd preach hard. If you thought I preached hard this morning, that is kindergarten Sissy Bridges preaching what Manly Beasley did. He preached in a little country church I pastored up in Springville, Alabama one night. He preached for an hour. He preached on every sin you could find. He got done. He just closed his Bible and he said, y'all a bunch of Pharisees, you wouldn't respond. He just walked out the door. This is serious. He just walked out the side door. He said, y'all don't want no more. You're not even ready to respond to what I've already said tonight. Just go home. He came back the next night. You couldn't get in the building the next night. Everybody said, what is that crazy preacher going to do tomorrow night? And he knew what he's doing. You say, I'm just not like that. That's okay. But a little grunt every now and then would not only help you, it helps some other people. Look at this. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
You got food to eat today.
Amen.
You got a house to live in, you go home tonight. Your car is going to work when you go to the parking lot. Tony Evans said this week in a message. He said, our problem's not money because you got a house and two cars. He said, our problem is not health because you play golf. And go to ball game and do all that. He said, our problem priorities. What's first? What brings the hallelujah factor into your life? There ought to be a shout. I boast in the power of the cross. I wrote this down several years ago. I wrote this down. When Tim Tebow, I follow him on Twitter. Some people think he's about to run for Congress. Congressman Tebow. That's a ring to it. Tim used to just tweet scripture passages. He doesn't do that much anymore. I don't see him do it as much. But one day he just put Psalm 20, verse 7. Psalm 20, verse 7. Well, I didn't know it, and I ran to the Bible, open it up. Here's what it said. Some boast in chariots and some boast in horses, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. I thought that's pretty good for a quarterback from Florida. I tell you, I thought that's all right right there. Amen. To boast. Some in horses, some in chariots, but we will boast in the name of the Lord our God. Amen. There ought to be a hallelujah in somebody. Just a little shout. Just a yes. That ought to mark us. Now you see, some people, watch this. You see, some people are that all they are hallelujah people. They're fake. Because there's times when the hallelujah people hurt. And you don't always hallelujah when you're hurt. Okay? There's a time that you're crushed and others hallelujah. Some people just mope around in humility all the time. You know, just, I don't want to be around them. They're pitiful. I just want to say, at least stand up straight for a minute. Jesus has saved you. There's a time when you're broken and you're and then some people, oh, they want to throw that holiness card on you every time you turn around. It's just always syrupy, sweet spirituality. They won't even get real. See, God blends all that together and marks you with a holiness, with a humility, with hurt. And with a hallelujah. And when you put all that together, you become a spirit-filled, blood-bought, Holy Ghost, evangelizing, Baptist believer. That's who we're supposed to be. We bear in our body the brand marks of the Lord Jesus. She's not here anymore. My heart is broken. She's not. Out at the Karras house, we do some great work. And we bat a high percentage, way over 60%. But every now and then we lose a girl, young lady. I'll never forget the night we baptized. I did the baptism. And we baptized that young lady that had a tattooed tear right here. If I called her name, some of you would know her. She had a tear tattooed falling out of her left eye. And she sat down on the baptismal stool. I looked down and I said, I'd never seen that before. And I flipped off my microphone. I asked her, I said, tell me about that tattoo. She said, well, Pastor, I used to run the streets of New Orleans. And I cried and I cried and I cried till I couldn't cry anymore. And I went in the tattoo shop 4 o'clock one morning. I asked him to put a tear coming out of my eye so I'd always be able to cry when I couldn't cry anymore. Well, that just killed me. I said, how you doing now? She said, the Lord's dried my tears. And she walked in victory for a long time around here. But she is not doing well now. She's crying again. She bears another brand mark. It breaks my heart. So because we failed, I'm just going to quit having the Karras house and shut it down. No, that's what a quitter does. You'll learn out of that hurt. That makes me be harder on those ladies that come in there. It makes me press a little more. Sometimes it makes me back off. You learn from all that. But I know the Lord will bring great victory. That girl was marked. She doesn't have that tattoo anymore. There's a surgeon in our church that took it off for her. I'll never forget the night she came to me and said, there's a surgeon here that's going to take. I said, you're going to lose your testimony. He took it off. I said, be very careful. Be very careful. Bear in your body the brand marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bear those marks. Be holy. Be humble. Let the hurt come through and teach you the lessons. And then have a hallelujah. You come here next Sunday and I preach, I want somebody to say hallelujah next Sunday. I want you to help me. I'm telling you, this church has been the quietest I've ever heard it the last 3 Sunday mornings. Keith Wells, he's my friend, been here 25 years, an attorney, sits right here on his front row. The first Sunday I preached on hypocrites, he sent me a text after church. He said, that's the quietest I've ever heard Olive Baptist Church in all my life. He said, I've been there a long time, I never heard it that quiet before. I said, well, we was just listening to the Spirit of God pretty intently, weren't we? Yeah. Well, next Sunday, I want you to somebody say hallelujah. Hey, Kelling, I count on you for a hallelujah next Sunday. You're out of town. Well, I'll say hallelujah. Jack, will you say hallelujah in her place next week? You do it twice? Amen. Anybody, Josie, I count on you? I bet I can't. Yeah, I bet I can. Amen. Good. All right, let's see. Let me get plant 3 or 4 more hallelujahs. No, man. Just let the amen. I got witnesses. They're going to help us next Sunday. Brother John, would you give me a hallelujah next Sunday? Amen. I'll give you one while you sing. Amen. Hey, there ought to be a shout in our soul. If the Lord Jesus, we bear in our body the brand mark. Somebody's here that doesn't know Christ tonight. Now, I'm telling you, I've been praying that somebody gets saved on this Sunday. Now, somebody needs to trust Christ. Somebody needs to come and say yes to the Lord. You could join this church, but I'm telling you, somebody's here that ought to say yes to Jesus tonight. We're going to sing 2 or 3 stanzas of this song. Jamie's going to get, where did he go? There he is. He's going to sing this song, and when we sing, I'm going to ask you to get up out of your seat and walk right here and say, Pastor, I want to talk to somebody about knowing the Lord tonight. I want to know him. If you're here tonight, God's calling you, then I want you to come. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray, and after I pray, Jamie starts to sing. Step out of your seat. Come. Come, come this night. Father, do your work in this room. I pray, Father, we would bear in our body the brand marks of Christ. Somebody's here that does not know you, Father. I pray they get saved tonight. Somebody's here to join this church, somebody coming in repentance, but Lord, I pray for the lost, that Lord, you'd do a work in their heart and soul this very, very night, right now. God, have your way. Rebuke the evil one and draw people, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Jamie's singing. God's calling. You step out. You come tonight. This your night. Come on, unto the Lord and unto Christ.